The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Seftim. However, again we're going to deviate some to continue with the series that we've given for the... Well, this will be the fifth shiurim on it now. We started in Parshas Naso, when the 12 tribes, a prince from each tribe, Nasi L'Shevet Echod, brought gifts for the Chanukas HaMishkon V'HaMizbeach, for the dedication of the new Mishkon, the sanctuary, and the Mizbeach, and the altar. And we said we brought from the Medrash that each one brought for the general intention of what each gift was for. But then there's the question that since each gift was identical, why does the Torah repeat it over 12 times? So it's explained because each one also had a personal intention that each son knew Mercedes Biyad called Shevet Shevet from Yaakov Avinu what his special meaning was and what his historical role in history would be, and therefore each one had a particular intention also in the same gifts, and each one therefore was different than the other, and that's why the Torah repeats it over 12 times. Now in the last four shiurim we took Yehuda in Yisachar and Zvulun. They also were divided into four camps which surrounded the Mishkan. So the first camp was Degel Machne Yehuda, and that was Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun. And then after that we took the second camp, and that was Reuben and Shimon. And God. And then we took the third camp, and that was Yosef. That was Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Yosef and Binyamin. And now we are in the fourth camp. And the fourth camp is made up of three Shvatim, and those three Shvatim would be Dan, and Osher, and Naphtali. Last week we spoke of Dan. So this evening, it's a shame, we will speak about Osher. And it starts in Parshas Nosei, Bamidbor Zayin, Pasuk Ein Beis, B'yem Ashtei Osor Yom, and it was on the 11th day. We have two left, so this was the 11th and 12th days. So on the 11th day, Nosi Livnei Osher, the prince of the children of Osher came with their gift, Pagiel ben Ochron, and his name was Pagiel of ben Ochron, and his korbonai and his sacrifice was, and this is identical, Karis Kesev Achas. There was a bowl which was made out of silver, and it was one shleishi momea mishkola, the weight of 130 shekel, mizrok echod, and then there was a mizrok. A mizrok was a round basin. The Medrash says it was round, and that's why it's called from the word zorak, to throw. It was like a bowl. Kesev shivim shekel, the shekel hakodesh, and it was the weight of 70 shekel. Shnei hamaleim selis. Both were filled with the ground wheat flour, belula v'shem and lamincha, mixed with oil for the korban mincha, for the wheat offering. Kaf achas, and then there was a kaf. A kaf is a ladle. But the Medrash brings that this was a ladle with prongs. It had five prongs. Kaf achas asor zahav, 10 pieces of gold. It was the weight of 10 pieces of gold, 10 shekels of gold, Malek Torres, and it was full of incense. Parechot, Ben Bokor, Ayelechot, Kevesechot, Ben Shnoisela Ola. And then they brought a bull, and a ram, and a sheep for the Ola, for the burnt offering, offering Sirizi Mecholachatos. And then they brought one goat for the sin offering. And for the peace offering, Bokor Shnayim Elim Chamisho, Atudim Bokor Shnayim, there were two bulls, and then there were Elim Chamisho, Atudim Chamisho, Kvasim Bnei Shana Chamisho, and then there were the rams, the male goats, and the sheep, five of each. Zek Korban, and this was the sacrifice of Pagil Ben Ochron, which was for the Bnei Osher, the children of Osher. Osher was the second son to Zilpa, who was Shivchas Leah, who was the maidservant of Leah. Leah herself gave birth to six sons. That was Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. And then two other sons, not in this particular order though, but two other sons, she had through her maidservant Zilpah, and they were God and Osher. So she had a total of eight sons, six by herself and two from her maidservant, and this was the second one that she had from her maidservant God and Osher. Now, betoldosom, in the order of the birth to Yaakov, Osher was the eighth son. It was Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. But she was not the eighth. It was the eighth son. First there was Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, that Leah gave birth to. Then Don ben Naphtali. Don ben Naphtali were born by the maidservant of Rachel. And then God ve Osher. So it was the number eight to Yaakov. And it to Leah, it came after four of her own sons. So if we would count them amongst her own sons, it would be her sixth, although she had a total of eight. And all this is explained in Parshas Vayetze, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Tes to Yud Gimel. We mentioned last week that we're dealing here with the fourth camp. There were three in each camp. And this camp was known as Degel Machne Don, because there was a head to each camp, and the head was Don, and after him came Osher, and then came Naphtali. And this camp was Tzveno, was on the north side, and it was also known as the Maasev Kol HaMachnes. It was the ingathering of all the camps, because it was last. And this is explained in Bamidbar Beis, Posuk Chofei, and Baaleischo Yud, Posuk Chofei. So therefore, this is Degel Machne Don, this is the camp of Don on the north side, the last of the camps when they marched. And in this camp there was Don, Osher, and Naphtali in that order. So therefore Don came first, and he was the Nossi, he was the prince of last week, and now what we spoke about last week, and now is Osher. Now the word Osher, what does it mean? There are two explanations. If we look in Parshas Vayetze on Lamed Yud Gimel, Vatelet Zilpa Shivchas Leo Bein Sheni LeYaakov. This is Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Zilpa, the maidservant of Leah, gave birth to a second son to Yaakov. That was from her, a second son. Matoma Leah, and Leah said, Be Oshri, Ki Isruni Bonais, Vatikra Shmai Osher. The Targum explains Tushbachto. It is from Loshen Shivchor, Shvach. exalted, praised. Tushbach to havesli, aribechein yishabachani nani nashayu. She said that I am now exalted, I am now praiseworthy, and the daughters will praise me. And therefore she called his name Osher. So Osher comes from the word to be praised. And this is the word that we have, Ashrei. Ashrei ho'ish. Fortunate, praiseworthy is the man. Ashrei holach batzis reshaim, Ashrei omad, so forth. Or we'll have Ashrei ho'om. Praiseworthy is the nation. It's a very, very common word in the Tehillim. The fact is, the Gemara brings that's one of the praises, lashenis of praises, the words of praises which David HaMelech uses. The Targum, Yenison ben Uziel, says, Vehechen asidim b'noi l'shapcho, kodem Hashem. She called him Osher. Where is he going to be praised before Hashem? Altav peri aro. People will praise him because in his territory there will be the most beautiful fruits. What is he referring to? So he's referring to the brocha that Yaakov gave to Osher. In Vayechi, Memtes, Posuchov, Yaakov said, May Osher Shmeino Lachmei. From Osher should come. Now, Shmeino Lachmei can have two interpretations. It can mean Lechem, the bread which is fat, referring to good crops, or Shmeino Lachmei can mean that his bread will be oil. He'll have such an abundance of oil that just like a person always eats bread, he will always eat oil. It's referring to the oil of Zeisim, the olive oil, which is praised exceedingly by the Torah. Behu yitein madani melech, and from his land he will bring the gifts to the kings. Madani melech means the special gifts that you bring to a king, the best fruits. Now, so this is where he will be praised. Rashi says in Vayechi that this refers to the ribui shem be'artzoi, that his land will be full of olive trees and therefore full of olive oil. But the Targum Unkelus, he brings the Osher Tova Aray Vuhu Marbi Besafnuke Malochim. It seems to imply that his land will be full of good fruits, all good fruits. What Rashi says is certainly true, because we have Gemaras, which we will quote, that his land will be full of good olive oil, which was a great blessing. But it seems that his land was full of wonderful fruits. And also in Targum Ben Uziel, Yenison Ben Uziel, he brings Peri Ara, Peri Ara Marbia Busimin Ikre Samonim, that the fruits of his land will come wonderful perfumes and spices. And that would be the Madani Melech. We eat a Madani Melech. When you bring something to the king, to a king, you must bring him something special. So they would bring rare spices and wonderful perfumes. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu in his brochas to the Shvotim, this is brought in the Seis HaBrocho, also followed up with this brocha. In Posuk, in Lamed Gimel, Posuk Chom Dalet, Moshe said, Ula Osher Omar, and to Osher we say, Baruch mi bonim Osher, you will be blessed from the sons. Yirotsui Echov, you will be desired by all of your brothers, v'tevel b'shem en raglei, and you will bathe, he will bathe his feet in oil. Rashi, excuse me, the Targum Yenison there says, Yehei merai lahui, o mesapik lahein mezeine b'shnei shmitzo. he will be very much rotsui, he will be very much appreciated by his brethren, because he will give them to eat in the years of the Shemitah. The seventh year, one is not allowed to sow or plant or harvest one's field. So it's a problem. What did they eat on the seventh year in the Shemitah? So his lambs will be so fertile that he had no problems. He had plenty left over, not only for himself, but he will give to all of his brothers. So this is what is meant, Yehirotzu Yaakov, that he will be desired and appreciated by his brothers. Then Rashi brings from the Sifri, what does it mean, Boruch Mibonim? You will be blessed from sons. He says, Ra'isi b'Sifri, I've seen in the Sifri, Ein lecho b'cholash fotim shenis boruch b'bonim ke'osher, that there are no shvotim, no tribes that will have so many sons like Osher. And then the Rashi says further, Rotsui Echov, what does it mean that he will be wanted by his brethren? Shoibanes of Noos, he will have daughters also, and the daughters will be exceedingly beautiful. In other words, for Moshe will be known beautiful daughters. And therefore, Rotsui Echov, all of the other brothers will praise him because they'll want to marry his daughters. Not only that, but Bineisav Nesueis Lekahanim Gdolim, and Imshochim B'Shem Zais. The Kahanim were very particular. See who they took. They took from the best and the most Mucheses, especially the Kahanim Gdolim, the great Kahanim. So they would take his daughters, who will be married to Kahanim Gdolim, who are also Nimshach, who are anointed by the Shemen Zayis, by the olive oil. The Gemara brings, Rashi refers to it, in Gemara Manoches, Daf Pehe Yomid Beis, the Gemara says, Tone Rabon of the table b'Shemen Ragloi, that he will bathe his feet in oil. This is an expression how the oil will be so abundant. And the oil was, the olive oil was something which was a very expensive commodity in the world, and it was a specially desired commodity. And the Gemara brings wonderful brochas. It says that the olive oil was a special brocha that came to the world. And it had three brochas. First of all, it gave the best light. From all of the oils, it gave the best light. In the Beis Hamikdash, the menorah was only allowed to be lit with olive oil. This is why it's a mitzvah min amuvchar, it's a hidur on Hanukkah to use olive oil, because it's zeichel neis shel menorah shel Beis Hamikdash, because it's in memory of the of the miracle which took place in the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. That was one brocha. A second brocha was given was that that it's very good to eat. Today, nutritionists are finding all types of wonderful values in the olive oil. Actually, it's a phenomenon which they have found just recently, because the oils and fats, they are identifying that creates a lot of problems with the body, cholesterol and other such things. So they have two types. One creates a lot of cholesterol, so they moved away from that, and they went to the other types of oils, which do not, but now they have found very adverse side effects for the other. So they have finally found a middle type of oil that seems to give the best balance to the body. And they've identified two types of oils, and the best is the olive oil. And this they learned from studying the habits of the Mediterranean people. So that's where the brocha of Achila. And then a third brocha that was given was Lesicha, that it is very good for the body to use it to rub onto the body. And this is something that we don't do today, and it could be a great shortcoming. The Gemara brings great, great praise that it was wonderful for the skin and the body. The fact is, I think it's a Yushalmi that's brought, that it's good also for the bone structure and the muscles. And one of the Amoraim says, and they asked him, he says, He omda bezignosi. When he was old, he was very healthy and strong. And they asked him why. He said, because when he was very small, his mother every day used to rub him down with olive oil. And he says, this is omda bezignosi, this is what's given me so much strength in my old age. So therefore it was something, and they knew of that, and it was something which was very desired. So telvil b'shemen raglei, there'll be so much oil in Osher's chelik territory that they'll be able to bathe their feet in it. Zechelke shel Osher, shemeichek shemen kemayon. The oil will be in his territory like a spring, like a well of water. Omru pam echo nitzroch lehen anshe lutkayo b'shemen. There was a place called Lutkayo. Lutkayo, I think it was in Bovel, I'm not sure. And there was a non-Jew, Goyim, and they needed oil, and they didn't have any. And they needed a great amount. Minu lehen pulmus desechot. Evidently the government appointed one agent. Omru lei, leich havei lonu shemen b'meya ribua. Bring us shemen, oil, for meya ribua. It's a tremendous amount of That's a tremendous amount of money. 100 times 10,000. There would be 1,000,000. Holach Yushalayim. So he knew that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with oil. He went to Yushalayim. And he asked, he says he needs an enormous amount of shemen, oil. Where can he get it? Omru lei leich lotzor. Go to Lotzor. Holach Lotzor. Omru lei leich logush cholam. He went there, they told him to go another place. Holach logush cholam, he went there. Omru leich etzel ploni basode. They said, go to a certain individual, you'll find him in the field. Motzor shohoya ezek tachas esof. He came, and there was a man, and he was spading under an olive tree. Om locho yesh, and he himself was laboring. This was the work for a laborer. And if you had a lot of oil, you must have been very wealthy. He says, do you have oil which I can buy for 100 times 10,000 pieces of silver? Shanit zorach. Om alei, he says, hamtin liyachi esai mamachti. He says, you'll have to wait till I'm finished with work, and then I'll take care of you. After he finished work, he put his pack on his shoulder, like a common laborer. And then he removed the stones from the field that were bothering the field. And then he started to walk home. So he says, Yesh lecha shemen b'meya ribua? He says, you have oil to sell me for such a sum of money? Ki meduma ani shesochak, sochak ubiya yehudim? I think that the Jews are making a joke of me. They sent me because this fella looked like a very poor person. He took him to his house. His maid servant came out with a big bowl of hot water. She washed his hands and his feet. Then she came out with a basin, a golden basin, malea shemen, which was full of oil. And there he was soch. He anointed, he rubbed down his hands and his feet. He was from Osher. To fulfill the prophecy that they will bathe their feet in oil. Then he invited the person to sit down, and they ate and they drank. And he went and he measured out oil for this enormous sum of money that the person wanted. Then he asked him, don't you need more? So the person, the non-Jew, said, yes, but I don't have money to buy more. He says, whatever you want, I'll give to you, take, and I'll go with you back to your town, and you'll pay me there. So they added another 18 10,000s. Omru, they said, Lehiniach Esa Ish, this person did not leave Le Sus, Vele Pered, Vele Gomel, Vele Hamor, Beret Israel, Shele Sochru. A horse, a mule, a camel, or a donkey in Eretz Yisrael that he didn't have to hire to take all of this oil back to his city. Every horse, mule, camel, and donkey in Eretz Yisrael he had to hire for transport. When he came back with all of the oil, so the people of the city came out to praise him. Don't praise me, praise this Jew that came along. Because I paid him 100 times 10,000 for this, and I owe him another 18 times 10,000. So this was the story the Gemara brings to show how mevurach, how blessed, blessed they were in their territory. Now, this that we say that Osher was Boruch, he was so blessed. This is not blessed, but this is the type of blessing that brings praise, like his name Osher. Because either the people had enjoyment, they had benefit from his blessing. Like here we see that everybody had benefit from his oil, so they praised him. The cow say, don't praise me, praise him. Or he used to sustain all of the Shvatim during the Shemitahs. Or he would sustain them with the most beautiful fruits and spices and so forth. Or he had such beautiful sons, this a person praises. Or they want his sons. Or like they wanted his daughters. So this was just not a brocha. Many times we have a brocha, but people do not praise you for it. This was the type of brocha that evoked praise by others. And the shadish, the source of this, is from Leah. Where Leah said, when he was born, so he says, she said, Bi ashri, ki ishruni bonais, I am exalted and praised. And now, the women will praise me over Osher. Vatikra Shmai Osher. And therefore she called his name Osher. So, this is what the word means from the word Osha Ashre. There's another explanation in the word Osher. And that is, there's a posuk in Yirmiyahu, in Perikala posuk Yud Zayin. Yirmiyahu is rebuking the people on the Mishpat. On the dinim, on upholding the law. So he said, Limdu heitev, study well, dirshu mishpat, demand there should be law and justice. Ashru chomaitz, chomaitz means the nigzel, the nashak, those who are those who people take advantage of and steal from them. Ashru means strengthen. Strengthen the hands of the victims. Shiftu yosem, bring justice to the orphan. Rivu almona, and fight the battles of the widows. This is what Yirmiyahu rebuked the people. Lindu heitev, study well, dirshu mishpat, seek justice. Ashru chamotz, strengthen the hands of the victims of theft. Shiftu yosem, bring justice to the orphan. Rivu almona, and fight the battles of the almona, of the widows. There the Meforshim bring the Chazal, Ishru means to strengthen. Asher means strong. Where do we find a similar word? So the before she bring this expression in the Gemara, I ayasher cheli, if my strength will be strengthened. Actually, from here, there we have the word yasher kechacho, We say Yasher Kechacho, that you should, your strength should be strengthened. The word Ayasher means to become strong. The Gemara brings that when there would be an official document, a shtar, agreed upon and written between, executed between two parties, in order really to give it strength, to give it teeth, it had to have a henpeck. Henpeck meant a certification from the Beis Din. What would the Beis Din write? The Beis Din would write Ashranuhi Vekaiminuhi, that we have been me'asher, which means that we have substantiated, we have attested, we have confirmed this document. So that's what the word means, asher ayasher. Actually today in Eretz Yisrael, it's very common that you'll see what is written ksav ishur. Ksav ishur means a certification. A certification, or to substantiate. And that's where it comes from. So there's a second meaning in the word osher, which would mean to strengthen. Now, the Medrash brings in Parshas Noso, Perek Yud Dalet Posuchot Beis, Perek Yud Dalet Posuchot Beis. The Medrash first asks, Maro Nosi Osher Lahakriv Acher Nosi Don. Why did Osher come after Don? Don was the Reish HaMachaneh, he was the head of that camp. And then there were two left over. There was Osher, there were Osher and Naphtali. Why did Osher come before Naphtali? Actually, Naphtali was older. See, Naphtali was the sixth son to Yaakov, while Osher was the eighth. No, a minute. Yes. So the Medrash answers, because Don was called Don al Shem Din. When Don was born to the Shifcha of Rochel, so it states, this is in Vayetze Posuk Vov, Vatome Rochel Donani Lekim, Hashem has judged me, Begam Shama Bekeli, and he has listened to my voice, Vayiten Li Bein, and he gave me a son, Al Kain Koreshmai Don, therefore she called him Don. That was Rochel's first son. She hadn't had any children of her own, and this was her first through her Shifcha. So she said, Hashem has judged me, and he has found, vindicated me. And therefore she called his name Don, Hashem Hadin. Don was called this because of the Din, because of the Mishpat and the justice. This was the just thing to do. And Osher was called Osher, Hashem Ishurai, to strengthen. Now here the Medrash is going with the second meaning in Osher. Lefichok tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that first let Don come and then Osher, shetzorech hadayin la'asher dinai, because the dayin needs two things. He has to judge the people and judge them with justice, and then he has to strengthen the law, enforce the law, to see that it's carried out. As it states, and interestingly it brings the posik from Adi Parsha, as it states, Sheftim v'sheitrim titen locho. Or then it brings, actually Mephoshim brings that, but the Medrash brings the posik from Yirmiyahu, Dirshu mishpat ashru chamotz, that you have to seek justice and you have to strengthen the hands of the victim to see that it's carried out. And this is what it's written in Arpasha, Sheftim v'sheitrim titen lecho, that you shall select judges and those who will decide the law, and shotrim who will enforce the law in all of your gates. So therefore they were a pair. So first came Don, who was, he was Ashem Hadin, he was the Shoftim, and then came Osher, the Asher, to strengthen, to see that the deen is carried out. This is something that our generation can learn from. But you have in the world, we talk of all kind of fancy things about justice Ahim, justice Aher. But meanwhile, it's a world of a jungle. Of a jungle. Because it's very fancy laws and very fancy judges and fancy courts. But it's not carried out. And that's what the Torah says, one without the other is useless. Shoftim v'sheitrim titan l'cho b'sharecho. You need shoftim, you need just judges to decide what is just and what is not, and shoftim, and then you need those who put strength into the law to see that they're carried out. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. First let Don come, because Hashem Hadin, and then Osher, Hashem, to Le'asher, to give strength to the deen. Then the Medrash carries further. And the Medrash says, and now it goes into this other Pirush, the other interpretation of his name. It says he was called Osher, referring to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem Israel from all of the nations, and he will bring them to his land. The Pasuk in Malachi Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, states, V'ishru eschem kol agoyim. All of the nations, Ishru, from the word Ashrei, will praise Israel. Ki tiyu atem eretz hefetz. Because you will have a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, a land which will be full of brocha. Not like today, where we find so much of Eretz Yisrael is still barren, but it will be a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is derish, like it states in Parshas Ekev, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek all of the time to bring brocha. Ki tiyu atem eretz hefetz omar Hashem tzavokes. What does this mean? It means, the commentaries say, that that parsha in Malachi is speaking about the final redemption of Klal Yisrael, when he will bring us back to his land in his Beis Hamikdash. And the land will be full of brocha, ki eretz chefetz, a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and he will want us. This will be our greatest praise from the nations of the world. Ishur eschem kol agoyim. And the Medrash continues. Uleshem shvochem. This will be the praise, like we find in Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalet. Ashrei ha'om shekocho lei, ashrei ha'om shehashem lakov. Nations of the world will praise Israel. Why will they praise Israel? They're not going to praise Israel because of their wealth. They're not going to praise Israel because of their looks. They're not going to praise Israel because of their brains. It's interesting, because Klal Israel Jews, they many times have had wealth, and many times they're from the brilliant of the world, but we don't get the praise from the goyim. The nations will praise Klal Yisrael because they will be the only nation Shahashem Alakov, that the God of the world is their God. And then it quotes another pasuk in Tehillim Samachay, Hey, Ashrei Sifchar Usekorev Yishkain Katzeirecho. Praiseworthy is the one who is chosen to come close and dwell in your courtyard. Nisbo'o bituv beisecho, which will be full of the goodness of your house, kedosh heicholecho, and the sanctification of your chambers. In other words, what will be the greatest praise in the eyes of the goyim, of the nations, when they see that there is only one nation in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their God, that He brings them close to Him, He brings them into His land and into His chatzer, into His courtyard and into His heichel, into His Beis HaMikdosh. This will be the greatest praise that all of the nations will stand up to praise Israel. Ashrei Om Shekoholei, Ashrei Om Shehashem Elako. This is the Iker Brocha Nishmach. The Medrash says, refers to this as the Bechira, that He has singled us out from all of the nations. This is what all of the nations of the world will realize, that we are singled out from all of the nations. Asher bocha lonu mikol ha'amim v'nosan lonu es torosoi. Therefore, the Medrash says that since Osher, he was, his name is because it would evoke praise. Since he was the one who would evoke praise, he wanted to bring his korbanos, his sacrifice, on that which evoked the greatest praise of the nations of the world to Israel. So therefore he brought his sacrifices to illustrate how Klal Yisrael is singled out from all of the nations of the world, and therefore Hakol Meshapchim Esam, that all of the nations of the world will praise them. This is what the Medrash says. So, some examples. The Medrash brings Karis Kesev Achas. He brings Karis Kesev Achas Shleishi Mumea Mishkola. He would bring this basin of silver, Mea Shleishim, 130 shekel. First he came to talk about the world. When you speak of the praise that Israel was separated from the whole world, so first you have to speak of the world that they were separated from. So he brought this kara, this basin of silver, which weighed 130 shekels. What did 130 signify? This signified the 70 nations of the world, and there were 60 kings. Shlema Melech in Shir Ashirim Vov mentions Shishim Hema Melochis. There were 60 kings. What does this refer to? So the Chazal say this refers to the 60 great kings that the Goyim, that the nations of the world produced. And the Medrash lists them all off. Most of them are the Alufim. The Torah in a number of places speaks of the Alufim, the great kings, the great monarchs that came from the Bnei Keturah. The Bnei Keturah were the sons, the other sons that Abraham had from Hagar. The Alufim from Yishmael. The Torah lists off the Alufim, the great monarchs that came from Yishmael, and the Alufim of Esav. These were the majority, and then there were a few more which are listed off from the rest of the nations of the world, a total of 60. First he speaks of the 70 nations of the world and their 60 great monarchs. 70 and 60 is 130. So this is what the Mea Ushleshi Mishkola, the 130 shekel, represented. Now this kara was kesev, was silver. The Medrash brings silver. Kesev also refers to cherpa. Cherpa is bizayin, insult and shame. Shekein b'losh nishalmi korin lecherpa kisufa. Because we find that in the there was the language, the Aramaic of Yerushalayim. This is what the Aramaic of the Talmudim are written in. So there, shame, cherpa, is called kisufa. That's from the word kesef. So this was to show that from the whole 70 nations and all of their 60 kings, it's cherpa. It was bizein, shame, and insult. That was the world. So that was the first thing he brought. Then he brings Mizrok Echot, one Mizrok. Now Mizrok, we said, was this round basin, this round bowl, and it comes from the word Zorak, to throw. Out of this whole mess, this whole cherpo, one was thrown out of it. Elu Yisrael. This was Yisrael. Shehifri Shakorish Bochu Mehem. Kodesh Baruch Hu separated from this whole cherpo, this whole mess, the 70 nations with their 60 great monarchs. He separated one from them, and that was Israel, as it states, Ki Yaakov Bochar Le Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Yaakov. Or like the Midrash says, this is what we quote in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Vo Ekach Es Avichem Me'Evar Hanor. From this whole business, I took out your father, Abraham. Abraham lived amongst all of them. He lived on the other side of the river. And he lived amongst all of the Avedis Zorah, all of the idolaters. Vo'ekach es avichem, I took him out from the other side of the river, the Olich Esau, and I brought him to Eretz Kedan, to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mizrok Echod refers that from this whole business, this whole mess, this whole cherpo, one was thrown out. And that is from Israel. That was Shivim Shekel. That was the weight of 70 shekels. What does that refer to? From this one came 70 nefesh. Shivim nefesh yordu avasecho mitraima. I took out one, and he together produced a family of 70, and they were all kodosh. So this is the Mizrok Echod Shivim Shekel b'shekel hakodesh. They were all Kodesh. This is what the 70 refers to. Then the Medrash says, V'loma Bochar, why did HaKodesh Baruch Hu choose Israel from all of the nations of the world? Shekola Uma is poslu as a Torah. Because all of the nations despised the Torah. HaKodesh Baruch Hu went to offer the Torah to the whole world. The Torah wasn't created exclusively for Israel. It was created for the world. And he went to all of them to offer them the Torah. And they rejected and despised it. Leirotzu lekablo. They didn't want it. Velei bochru, akubakorish bochru, ubeteirosei. And they would not choose Hashem in his Torah. Mashenkin Yisrael. But Yisrael did choose. Therefore, kaf echad asorizov. He then brought a kaf, this kaf, kaf achas. This kaf was the ladle with the five prongs. One kaf, asor zohov, which was the weight of 10 pieces of gold, malei ktoris, full of incense. The kaf achas, this refers to Israel. The five prongs that it had in it, this is keneged the five chamisha chumshei Torah. Asor zohov, the weight of 10 shekel, Kineged Yudibrais. This was the Ten Commandments. That this nation alone only wanted the Torah, while the other nations not. And this is why Hashem chose them. Asher Bochar Bonu. This is the great praise, while everyone will stand up and praise Klal Yisrael. What does it mean, Malea Ktoris? And it was full of Ktoris. Malea means full. Shekulam. Actually, Ketores always refers to, we have sources, to Maisim Tovim. Ketores is the incense, the sweet-smelling incense. It refers to the Maisim Tovim. Because a person who is full of good deeds, he's like the sweet-smelling incense. The deeds. And Kulam, the Malaya means all. Shekulam Omru Nasev Nishma. Everyone at Har Sinai said Nasev Nishma. Not only did they accept Talmud Torah that we will learn, but Nishma, but Maisa also, the deeds. So this is what it means, Kaf Achas. One spoon, this was Israel. Asor Zohot, with five prongs. This was connected the five Chamisha Chumash Torah. Asor Zohot, 10 pieces of gold. This was the 10 commandments. Malaya Ktoris, all of them had incense. They all said, Nasa V'nishma, we will accept the learning of the Torah and the deeds. Then is written, Parechot, Ailechot, Kevesechot. When it came to the Korban Ola, three types of animals were offered: the bull, the ram, and the sheep. Gimel Mine Eila, these were symbolic of the Gimel Ksorim, of the three crowns: Torah, Kohuna, and Malchus. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave with the Torah, he gave three crowns to Israel: Keser Torah, the crown of Torah; Keser Kohuna, the crown of priesthood; and Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. Then the Midrash says, Zevach HaShlomim, Boker Shnaim. When it came to the Korban Shlomim, Boker Shnaim, there were two bulls. Why two? Keneged Shnei Torahs. This refers to the two Torahs, the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah is made up of the written law and the oral law. The Midrash says something very interesting. Medrash asks, why do we have an oral law? Why couldn't the entire Torah be written? So it says as follows: Nosan lehem teresh balpeah. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an oral law, an unwritten law, liyeis mitzionim bo, bishara umes, in order that they will be exclusive amongst all of the nations. See, this is going again, that what makes Klal Yisrael so praiseworthy in the eyes of all of the nations. They will be exclusive in the eyes of all of the nations because of the Torah Shebal Peh, because of their Ola law. She'al kach le'nitna b'ksav k'dei sh'lei zayfuha umas ayla. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't write down the Ola law is in order that the nations of the world should not copy it, forge it, copy it, and claim it's theirs. Kishem sha'osu teirish b'ksav, like they did with the written law. V'yemru sha'em Yisrael, that they're Yisrael. See, we find you have an Old Testament, you have a New Testament. We have a Bible, they have a Bible. They take all kinds of things from our Bible, and they build a whole religion on it. Not only that religion, many religions. Look into the Bible. They take from our Chumash, they take from our Tehillim, they take from our Mishle, they take from our Shir Ashirim, they take from our Nevi'im, and they say, Anu Yisrael, we have our religion is built on that too. They have justice, they have, and so forth. So why is Yisrael exclusive? So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that, like they have copied down and stolen our Chumash, and they claim Yisrael, I will not write down the oral law. And then you will be mitzuyonim. Only Yisrael will have the oral law. You never find that the goyim write down Shas or Rambam. Little bit, but nothing. But this is what Hosea said in Perches Posuk Yud Beis. Echtev li rubei teirosi kimeizor nechshavu. If I will write down the majority of my Torah, because the majority of the Torah is in the Baal Peh and the oral law, not the written law. If I will write it down, kimeizor nechshavu, you will be considered strangers to the Torah. You will not be the chosen to the Torah. You'll be a stranger. Because all of a sudden, out of the woodwork will come all kind of other chasamim. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu imechtov li Yisrael lubi teirosi, zu amishne shi gdeilu min amikro, kemaizor nekshavu. So therefore, HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, this you will keep unwritten, and only you will know it, and this will be amongst the praises Why? Ki hi chochmaskem ubinaskem la'ini hagoyim. This will be the praises of the nations of the world to you. Elim chamisho, aturim chamisho, tvosim nation o chamisho. When it came to the shlomim, so there are three types of that that the goats, the rams, the goats and the sheep, that were five each. Why three? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave us the Torah, he gave us three classifications of greatness. What were the three classifications of greatness when he gave us the Torah? It states, V'yisem li skula mikol amim, you shall be skula mikol amim. Skula means you shall be the most precious to me from all of the nations. Ki li kol oretz v'atem tiyu li mamleches kahanim, you will be an empire of kings. Mamleches kahanim means an empire of kings. V'goy kodosh, and you will be a sanctified nation. So at the time of the giving of the Torah, he gave us three classifications of greatness. Skula, you will be precious to me from all of the nations, mikol amim. Mamleches kahanim, you will be an empire of kings. Gei Kodosh, you will be a sanctified nation. So evidently each one is a different type of classification. So as in honor of these three, so therefore Osher brought Elim Chamisho, Atudim Chamisho, Kvosim B'nei No Chamisho. These were the three types of animals that were five each. These are some of the Ramazim, some of the intentions, the particular intentions. So what do we find in general? That Osher, he represented the strength of the din, therefore he came after Don, the Asher, to strengthen the justice in the world, and he represented praise. Leah named him because through him she would have praise and he will have praise, and this we see was fulfilled. He was blessed in many, many ways. His land was blessed, and he had abundance of oil, and he had abundance of fruits and crops and spices and perfumes and sons and beautiful daughters. But this was not just brocha. Many times we have a brocha, but it doesn't bring us praise. It was the type of brocha, rotzui le'echov, that all of the brethren would praise him for it. Because it was either that type of brocha that people praise, could be when they see beautiful daughters they praise, or it was the brocha that they could partake from. They would be mana, they would benefit from, and therefore Mekalsin, I say, they would praise him. So he was the essence of praise. Because of that, he wanted to bring his sacrifices to bring praise, the greatest praise to his nation, to Israel. What was the greatest praise to Israel? Al Shema Bechiro, Asher Bochar Bono Mikol Amim Venosan Lonu Esteirosei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us. He's taken us out of the whole, all of the nations, and he gave us his Torah. He brought us to his land, Chatzerecho, to his courtyard, and to his Beis Hamikdash. And this is why the nations of the world praise us. Ashrei Om Shekocholai. So this is what he brought. So first he describes the whole world, and then the cherpa, the mess they've created, and then how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took one out of there, and from there came the Avraham, Yaakov, the Shivim Nefesh. They received the Torah and all of the brochas that the Torah was brought to them. It could be, why did Leah name him on this praise? She said, they were Nevi'os, the Imos, the mothers were prophetesses, so she could foresee that he would be praised. But she said, Ishruni, I will be praised by him also, unless they praise the mother of the son. But I don't know exactly why, unless she was the Ben Shishi. To Leah, she was the sixth son. Leah was to have more afterwards. She had Yisrochan Zvulun later on, but she was the sixth son. We find that she praised, she gave praise also when she had Yehuda. She said, "Apam Eides Hashem, now I will thank Hashem." And therefore she called him Yehuda. So the Chazal say, why did she choose to thank Hashem with Yehuda? Because now she says, Natalti Yesem Michalki. She knew there would be four wives and 12 sons, so each one's portion would be three. Yehuda was Ben Revi, Yehuda was the fourth son. When someone gives you more than you do, you give Haidor. You give thanks and praise. So that's why she said, Apam Oda. Maybe this time, she realized, not only do I have Yesem Echelki, but I have half of the entire of Beis Yaakov. This was Ben Shishi. I have half of the entire of Beis Yaakov, therefore Ishruni. I am very praised. Maybe that was why. One other note. What was... We have to give thought to the distinction between Yehuda and Osher, because Yehuda also was from praise. Hatam Eida. Now there is a difference. Yehuda was called Hodor, while Osher, we said, is from doing Ashrei Tushbechon. We do find they are synonyms, but there must be a distinction between them. But usually used together, we find Shevach v'Haidor. Shevach, the Haidor, these are two types of praises. I don't know exactly what the distinction between the two is, but it's Shevach v'Haidor. But at any rate, there was a difference between Yehuda and Osher, because Yehuda, there the Haidor was to Hashem. She said, Apam Eide es Hashem. This time I will praise Hashem. And she called him Yehuda. The Gemara brings that Yehuda has the whole name of Hashem in his name. In the Yehuda, you have the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. Hashem put his name in Yehuda, and it means Eidel Hashem. Yehuda represented praise to Hashem. And that's why Malchus, kings, came from Yehuda, because the Melech Yisrael, he has to constantly be made El Hashem, see, to give praise to Hashem. Osher was not praise to Hashem. Osher, she said, Ishruni, I will have praise from you. People will praise you, Rotzui Le'echov, because of his wonderful brachas and who he was, he had praise. And therefore, he came, he didn't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he praised Israel. He said, what is the greatest praise to Israel? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Israel Mikol Amim, the Nosam Lono Es HaTorah. So therefore he praised Israel, and that's what it states, Rotzui L'Rev Echov. He will be praised and desired by his brethren. So the distinction was is that Yehuda, his was Eidel Hashem, to praise Hashem, while the brocha of Osher was that he would be praised himself. Like we say, Ashrei Ha'om Shekochalei. We're not praising Hashem, we're praising Israel. And therefore he brought all of his korbanos, as his particular intention was to that if he is the praiseworthy one, let him show what the greatest praises to his brothers are, to Israel. This concludes Osher. And now we have one left, and that's Naftali. And Yitz Hashem, next opportunity we will speak on Naftali.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.